In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We celebrate today the third Sunday of Ordinary Time, and also by declaration of Pope Francis, this Sunday is dedicated to special celebration of the Word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. That what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in the land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It was kind of a surprise these last days, knowing that Pope Francis declared this third Sunday of Ordinary Time the celebration of the Word of God, Word of the Lord, that he declared that from now, every third Sunday of Ordinary Time, it means it is always one Sunday in January, will be dedicated to a special meditation and special celebration of the Word of God. We are still very close to Christmas time. We still remember our celebration of Christmas time, and we still remember the words that we used during this Christmas time, that the Word of God became flesh and dwelled among us. Yet he dwelled among us so that he could die for us. And this is why Christmas time and Easter time, Christmas time and our celebration of Lent, especially of the Holy Week, Good Friday, have this great connection. Jesus, Word of God, came to us, to die for us, and to bring us salvation. Of course, when we are talking about Word of God, we are immediately thinking about, from one side, Jesus Christ, and when we can use the first chapter of John's Gospel, when it is described that Word came to this world to dwell among us. But also from the other side, when we are talking about the Word of God, we are thinking about our readings, our Bible, the books of the Bible, everything what we usually use during Mass. And it is why this Sunday of celebration of Word of God is also like every other Sunday, even more like every other day when we celebrate the Mass, we use the books of Bible for our readings, to know, to learn, to meditate, and to celebrate this Word of God. Today is only one more day when we, in special way, do this, thinking of the Word of God. And now to our readings from this Sunday. You have text of our readings in your pews, and when we read these readings here, many of us, we use these books and we follow the text of our readings. I don't know, with today's first reading, how much we could understand this first reading from today's Liturgy of the Word, because it is only a short fragment of the prophecy of Isaiah. And without taking it into consideration, the whole background, and knowing a little bit more about the history of salvation, it is hard, really hard, to understand this reading. When we think about the whole Old Testament, mostly we think about three places that they are very characteristic for Old Testament. First is Egypt. When the Israelites are forced to work as slaves in very bad condition. Second place is desert. When finally they are free, but they are still struggling, they are still in bad condition because for a long time they have to walk to find the third place, very characteristic for the Old Testament, that is the Promised Land. And finally, they enter there, the Promised Land, the place of happiness, the place where everything is different from these two other places. But it is possible to lose the Promised Land. And that happened in the year 721 before Christ, when Assyria overwhelms this northern kingdom and they took many of the Jews into exile, leaving there only few of them. And these few of them, they started to mix with the Gentiles. Gentiles, it means non-Jews, people who are believing in idols, in other gods, in many gods. And slowly, this small group of Jews, they started also to worship these idols. And it is why they lose their faith. They are starting to convert themselves from Judaism to paganism, to something that is totally against the promise that God gave them, that they will live in this Promised Land in happiness and in freedom. Slowly also, some Jews starting to move from south to north, and one of them was Jesus. Before, Jesus with Mary and Joseph. This is totally different time. All of this because Jesus had to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that he will come from the north, that Messiah will come from this region of Zabulon and Naphtali. We see today that Jesus comes from the north, and he is this light for the darkness. Darkness of paganism, darkness of people living between Gentiles. He comes to reverse the exile. He gathers the people around him. He tries to be the light for all these Jews. How does Jesus gather people? Well, the first step is he calls for repentance. People lost the promised land because of sin, because of not obeying what God wants from them. They even, in many cases, sacrificed their little children to those idols. For that reason, Jesus says, repent, change your mind, turn back to God. Fathers, turn to your children. Children, turn to your father, parents. Repent. That is the first step. The second is what Jesus is doing with these first disciples. He looks them in the eyes and says, follow me. He needs help in gathering the people and in changing their minds. Most of you probably we know what it means name Peter, because we usually say that Peter is the rock, and on this rock Jesus built his church. But do you know what it means name Andrew? I have heard a story about a man in his 20s. He was questioning his identity, and he took a long walk, and he was thinking what really he needs to do with his life. And when he arrived home, it was a letter from a Christian girl with only one sentence: your name is Andrew, which means man. He was very amazed. It was a response for all his problems and questions. And even more, that girl didn't know him very well. He never used his second name, Andrew, with her. That man later married and with his wife has 6 children, some biological, some adopted. He served as pediatrician and witnessed to his faith in open and loving way. We need people like Andrew. And it is not only that we need men like Andrew, husbands, fathers, hard workers. We need people who are knowing what it means Jesus called, follow me. And we should never forget that Andrew has a brother, his brother Peter, the rock. And on this rock, Jesus built his church. You and I can gather people, you and I, we have a role. If we take time for prayer, if we respond to Jesus' call, repent, if we respond to Jesus' call, follow me, and if we allow Jesus work to us, then by his power, we can gather people. Jesus is the light for those living in darkness. Today he says, follow me. Follow me. Amen.